Hi, welcome to Lighthouse Vineyard Church. Thank you for joining us. If you would like to know more about us, feel free to visit us online at lighthousevineyard.church. Enjoy the message.
Hello, my name is Clint Schwartz. I'm the lead pastor here at Lighthouse. Thanks for joining us today. Really glad to have you all here. And if you're watching online, thanks for tuning in as well. I'll tell you, I love being part of a generous church. So thank you guys so much for your generosity. It allows us to be generous in our community. It's something we don't have to worry about here as far as paying the bills. You guys continue to be generous. So thank you so much for that. All right, we are continuing our message series today titled Truth and Lies. And each week we take a look at a supposed truth in our society, a direction in our society that is really a lie. It's contrary to the Word of God. And we cross-examine it each week with what the Word of God says. And today, I want to address a lie in our culture, in our society, that I think affects our priorities, what we move towards, what we prioritize in an unhealthy way. But I want to start by sharing a little bit about our men's wilderness trip that we took just a few weeks ago. Here are the five guys that went with me up into the Algonquin Provincial Park north of Toronto for a week of canoeing, backpacking, and camping. And I'll tell you, it was a hard trip. My plan with this trip was to train these guys in order to lead the men's trips, because the men's trips tend to be pretty difficult, and I'm getting old. So I got some of these guys to go up there, and they did a great job. But these trips are rough. We sleep in tents on the ground, we bathe in lakes, we cook over an open fire. Our feet are wet all day, every day. Days are long and nights can be cold. It's far from comfortable. And there are many days when I get up in the morning and I think, what am I doing? Why am I here? It's usually right before I put on my cold, wet socks, you know, so that my feet are wet the entire day. But then God shows up in the beauty of nature, in the sound of his voice, and you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Here are just a few photos of the beauty that we experience. See, now you want to go, right? You see this, you hear about the cold, wet socks, you don't, but then you see this beauty. Here's another photo. It was absolutely breathtaking this last trip. And to experience that type of beauty in the northern part of the park, it requires a lot of effort, a lot of hard work, and it requires a willingness to be uncomfortable, to experience a lot of discomfort. And I would say it's worth it. And only a few men that I know have accepted this level of discomfort to be able to experience it with me. Have you ever heard of the phrase, comfort is king? Anyone ever heard of that phrase? Comfort is king. It's used a lot in the clothing industry, basically meaning that the comfort of the clothing is the most important thing. And I believe that this thought, this theology, if you would, is becoming pervasive in our society today, not just the clothing industry. See, I believe that we make a lot of decisions today based on whether or not it's going to make us comfortable or not make us comfortable. In America, at least, it feels like comfort is becoming our king. So let's kind of walk through this. We choose restaurants based on how comfortable the atmosphere is, don't we? I know there was a restaurant that I went to in this last year, and it was just really loud, and I had a hard time having a conversation. And you know what I said? I will never go to this restaurant again. I'm just not comfortable there. We also choose our movie theaters based on how comfortable the seats are. Now, can I get an amen on that? Yeah, uh-huh, yep. I mean, they have these seats that recline now. Why would I spend the same amount of money to go and sit upright when I can sit back? Rose usually brings a little blanket, and we just lay there, sit there. It's like being at home with a big, big, big screen TV. And we'll choose to wear one outfit or another based on how comfortable it is, right? If it starts to get a little tight, then we just say, maybe next year. I'll wear that next year, you know? And so comfort really does prioritize the decisions that we make. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be comfortable in this life. What I am saying is that our comfort should not be our top priority. Because if we prioritize comfort, we're going to miss out on some pretty awesome things. God promises to take care of our needs, which is different than our comforts. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." And then Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33, Jesus says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, all these needs, will be given to you as well." And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." God will provide for our needs. But our needs are different than our comforts. When it comes to comfort, God says that he will bring comfort to the hurting. He says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. In Psalms 147, verse 3, it says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles." See, when it comes to comfort, Scripture would imply that God reserves that for those who are hurting. But I believe in our culture today, feeling comfortable has become a pretty high priority, and it feels like a need more than just a fringe benefit. Being comfortable is becoming a high priority. And I believe this is affecting the church as well. People will actually choose to attend one church or another based on how comfortable their chairs are. All right? I mean, anyone here? I've done that. You ever been to a church where they have the hard plastic chairs? You know, they're a new starting church. It's like, yeah, that was a nice church. I'll come back when they have like cushion chairs, right? But here's my premise for today. My premise for today is that if we live our lives focused on maximizing our personal levels of comfort, I believe we will miss out on much of what God has intended for us in this life. So you can turn to your Bibles. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 16. And in this section of Scripture, Jesus is preparing his disciples for what is to come, his death and his resurrection. And he is explaining to them, if you continue to follow me, it won't be comfortable. It won't be comfortable. So I'm going to read chapter 16, verses 21 through 25. "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. 'Never, Lord,' he said, 'this shall never happen to you.'" This is just really interesting. Peter is worried about Jesus' comfort, right? I mean, he's like, "Oh no, Jesus, they're not going to kill you. That's not going to happen. This will never happen." Now listen to Jesus' response. He says, Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." You're concerned about my comfort instead of God's will. Verse 24, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it.'" So today's message is titled, "Should Comfort Be Our King?" And the answer, of course, to that is no. It's no. But from our scripture, I do have a few truths that we can pull out of that. But first, let me pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me to us, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way. And Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear what we need to hear today. Jesus, lead us. Amen. All right. So here's some fill-ins you can put in on your handout. The truth is, number one, comfort is costly. Comfort is costly. Now, when I think of comfort, I immediately think of a comfortable bed. And maybe that's because I slept on the ground for a week. I don't know. But I think of a comfortable bed. And so I did a quick search. This is a bed that you can buy here locally. It's the king-size Sleep Number i10 smart bed. Right? I mean, they kind of both go up. The model actually has separate adjustability, and in its marketing script says you can enjoy endless head and foot positions. It will gently move your spouse's head up if they begin to snore, so that it'll help them to stop snoring. It also has underbed lighting. If you step out of your bed, it lights up the ground just a little bit so you can see where you're going. Has foot warming down there with your feet if you have cold feet, and can track your quality of sleep on your phone. And so if you want this bed, you can add a few pillow sheets and mattress pad. And this bed will only cost you $10,285.77. That's a bargain, right? It's an expensive bed. Now, not to be outdone, I found another bed that's more expensive. This is the Starry Night Sleep Technology bed, which basically has all those same things in it. But it also has surround sound stereo and a video projector that can display stars across your room or turn your bedroom into a movie theater. Now, we all need to have that, don't we? You know, look up at night and you see the stars, and it's just a great thing. That will only cost you $50,000. $50,000. Now, not to be outdone, there is one more expensive. This is the magnetic floating bed. It actually floats. This bed floats, and their marketing spiel is that this bed feels like you're floating on a cloud. We all want that, don't we? Just to be able to float on a cloud while we sleep at night. The bed manages to hover off the ground thanks to 1,500 pounds of magnets beneath it. This bed costs $1.6 million. And people buy it. That's what's crazy. Comfort is costly. If we want comfortable running shoes, they will cost us, right? If you want the most comfortable road bike, it will cost us. If we want comfortable furniture, it will cost us. If we want comfort, it will cost us, but it will cost us more than money. P.T. Barnum was quoted as saying, "Comfort is the enemy of progress." And what he's implying is that when we get comfortable, we no longer, right, progress. We no longer take strides to improve our life. I've seen this through doing marriage counseling. Like, marriages will get to this point where they're just comfortable with one another, and so then they no longer do those things to take care of one another or show love to one another. And so that comfort can actually kill the relationship. Proverbs says that if we get too comfortable, it can lead to poverty. Proverbs 6, 9, 11 says, "How long will you lie there, you sluggard, in your Sleep Number bed? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man." Comfort is costly. In our scripture today, Jesus says that if we live for ourselves, if we live for our comfort, it will cost us. He said in verse 25, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it." Jesus is saying that if we only go after the things that we want in this life, and I would add, go after our comforts, it'll cost us. It will cost us opportunities to serve Him, to be used by Him. Focusing on our comforts can cost us so much. So 6 years ago, I was working at the Vineyard Church in Mishawaka. And I had been working there for 11 years, had been attending for 21 years. And I had led the church through three building projects. And so we had this big, comfortable building. I had a big, comfortable office. Everything was new, you know, in the building. And I was very, very comfortable. And then God said, hey, I'd like you to start a church in Elkhart. And I remember thinking, Lord, this is really comfortable where I'm at right now. I've gotten to that point where it's comfortable. And that, I don't know, that feels really uncomfortable. Starting a new church, meeting people I don't know, you know, all that kind of stuff, taking the risk. But we did, obviously. Rose and I started this church. We stepped out. And I'll tell you, we would have missed out if we hadn't started this church. If we had stayed in our comfort place, we would have missed out on all that God has done here at Lighthouse over the last 5 years. So comfort can be very costly in areas we're not even aware of. So let's not focus, let's not prioritize our comfort too much, because comfort is costly. Point number two is this: good things are found in the uncomfortable. That's our second truth. Good things are found in the uncomfortable. Dave Ramsey has a class entitled Financial Peace University. How many of you have actually taken that or seen it, heard about it? Yeah. We teach it here in the January, February timeframe, and if you haven't taken it, I would encourage you to sign up for it. His whole premise, he calls it financial peace, because he says, if you follow my principles, which are godly principles, then you will find financial peace. And we all want that, right? We want financial peace. But the reality is, to get to there, he asks us to take some incredibly uncomfortable steps. Here's just a few of them. First of all, he says to create and follow a budget. That's really uncomfortable, because now you have a piece of paper or a spreadsheet telling you that you can't buy that mocha frappuccino. That's not comfortable, right? And then he says to cut up your credit cards. Well, how are you supposed to afford that really nice vacation, right, if you can't just charge it on your credit card? Then he tells us to start tithing 10% of our income, which doesn't make any sense, because it's God's math. Like, I'm going to get out of debt, so therefore I'm going to give 10% of my money away. And it doesn't make sense. It's very uncomfortable. If you've never done that before, it stretches you. But it does actually work out. God makes it work. Tells us to save $1,000 in an emergency fund, not save $1,000 towards a new motorcycle or whatever, right? He says towards just your emergencies. That's uncomfortable. And then to make a plan to get out of debt, which means that you're going to have to sacrifice some of the things you want today to get that financial peace tomorrow. Those steps are incredibly uncomfortable. And yet, if we follow those uncomfortable steps, we will reach a point of being debt-free, which is incredibly peaceful. That's where you find financial peace. So we have to be willing to accept the uncomfortable to reach good things. When COVID came around, most churches in America invested the money into cameras and computers and the software to begin to live stream our services. And our church was no different. We hadn't live streamed our services until COVID hit, and we went through all of that. And we now live stream both services every Sunday, and we have an audience who watches, just a few people, but we have an audience that's watching. And it's a good thing. But there are times when I have watched our services, I was at home or out of town, and I watch our services. And I'll tell you, our video team does a fantastic job. Our tech team does a fantastic job. But it is nothing like being here. Let me just say that. The value of church is being together. And when you watch it online, and again, if you're sick and you need to stay home, I mean, that is a great, great benefit. But that should not be your church. 25% of Americans, according to a recent poll, are staying home and watching services instead of going to church. And now I know it's more comfortable to stay home, right? You don't have to take a shower. You don't even have to brush your teeth. You don't have to brush your hair. You can stay in your pajamas, and you can sit on your most comfortable recliner. I know these chairs are comfortable, but not as comfortable as your recliner. Have your coffee, right? And you can watch it on your big screen. You don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to get out in the cold. I understand. It is more comfortable to be home, but it is so much better to come, to be here, to worship together, to pray together, to be with God's family, to serve one another and greet one another and show love and kindness and compassion to one another. Jesus explains this principle in verse 25. He says, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." Losing our life for God is giving up some of our comforts to do what God is asking us to do. And if we lose our life for Him, we will find everything that we ever wanted or needed. Matt LaFree is taking a missions team to Costa Rica in February, at the end of February. And we're partnering with La Viña Palmares, which is a vineyard church in the capital city there that we have partnered with in the past. They are a lot of fun to do ministry with. And so we're flying over there and we're joining them and we're going a couple hours outside of the big city to help this small rural vineyard church that's only been around for 6 years. So it's about as old as our church. And they've had some financial struggles in the last few years, almost lost their building. And so they haven't been able to continue to work on their building or even bless the community. And we get to come alongside of them with the other vineyard church and bless them for a whole week. But I'll tell you, going on a mission trip can be incredibly uncomfortable. I mean, when we went to Africa recently, we flew all the way through the night. We had to get through customs. We're not sleeping in our comfortable beds. We may or may not have water at night. The food is different. People speak different languages. It's an uncomfortable situation, but I will tell you, it happens almost every time I go on a mission trip. When I was in Africa, I remember sitting there one day. I was probably hot and sweaty and just, you know, dirty and all that. But I remember thinking, this might be the most significant thing I did for God the entire year. And that's coming from a pastor who, you know, I mean, I'm preaching sermons 40, 45 times, 50 times a year. And yet, every time I go, I feel like blessing our brothers and sisters in another country who are in need, really, they are in need, less fortunate than us for sure, is one of the most significant things that we can do. Now, today, we only have 8 people signed up for this year's trip. We bought 20 tickets or reserved 20 tickets, hoping that we could get 20 people to go. And we only have 8 so far. And I think part of the reason for that is because of everything I described, right? It's uncomfortable. It's the unknown. For some of you, you've never even left the United States, so it's this unknown step of getting a passport and what's it going to be like. But let me just tell you, there are huge blessings when we give up our comfort and go. So we decided to extend the deadline a couple more weeks. We have applications out at the Welcome Center. And my hope is that we get closer to that 20 number because, guys, not only do we get to bless them, but we receive a huge blessing. Proverbs 19:17 says, "Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done." So if God has really, in any way, shape, or form, put it on your heart to consider this trip, please, please consider it. Pick up an application and go. You won't regret going, I can guarantee it. So good things are found in the uncomfortable. Our last point for today is that God often leads us to the uncomfortable. Not only are good things found there, but God often leads us there. Verse 24 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.'" Jesus is making it pretty clear. If you want to be my disciple, right? I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go in this direction, and your job is to follow me. So what's he saying? He says, first of all, you need to deny yourself. I would say most of that is denying ourselves of our comforts, right? I mean, we have to deny ourselves of our comforts. And then he says to pick up your cross. And in the Gospel of Luke, it adds the word daily. Pick up your cross daily. Why would we pick up a cross and follow Jesus to Calvary, to his death? Jesus is saying that if you want to be my disciple, not only do you deny yourselves, but you need to be willing to suffer and even die like I died for you. It's incredibly uncomfortable. God's calling in our lives is a high calling. But then he meets us there, right? Every year in January, we do a corporate 21-day fast here at Lighthouse. And if you've only been here a few months, you may be like, I didn't know the church did that. Maybe I need to go find a church somewhere else. But every year, we ask the whole church to participate in this 21-day fast. So most of us will do a Daniel fast, which basically means that we eat fruits and vegetables for 21 days. Other people will do different kinds of fasts, like they may give up coffee or sweets or snacks or maybe even a meal a day. And then many of us will give up food completely for several days throughout this fast. And I will tell you, during those 21 days, I'm pretty uncomfortable because I like my food. Anybody in here where you're like, I like my food. And so giving up food, especially the comfort foods. I mean, even during the Daniel fast, that part of it for me, I'm not eating mashed potatoes and gravy and roast beef and ice cream and pie. I mean, these are things that make me happy. You know, they're comfort foods, right? And so I can't do that. And then I'm giving up my Starbucks Frappuccinos and caramel macchiatos, and I'm like, oh man, this is really hard. So why would I ask us or myself, why would we give up these things that bring us comfort for 21 days? Well, first of all, I believe that God is asking us to do that. I really do. But on the other side of that, man, God blesses our socks off during that time. I remember it was during the 21-day fast. We ask our staff, we say, where are you at spiritually? We do this every week during our staff meeting. 1 to 10, where are you guys at? And routinely, you know, we have hard weeks and good weeks. So we'll be, oh, this week I'm a 6, or maybe I'm a 3 this week, or maybe I'm an 8 or a 9. You know, we'll have that, and we just kind of go around. During the fast, the 21-day fast, we ask our staff, where are you at spiritually? And they're all like, I'm a 9, I'm a 10. Spiritually, I'm in a really, really good place. And so we see God move. He speaks to us. He does the supernatural. We hear words of knowledge, prophetic words during that time. We see so much of God in that sacrifice. God will often lead us out of our comfort zones, but then he meets us right outside of our comfort zones. As soon as we take that step into the uncomfortable, that's where God is. He's right there, waiting for us to stretch, waiting for us to stop focusing on ourselves, focusing on taking care of ourselves, stepping out and letting him take care of us. It was uncomfortable for Noah to build a boat in the middle of a desert. It was uncomfortable for little shepherd boy David to approach this warrior, this 9-foot, 10-foot tall warrior with just a sling and a stone. It was uncomfortable for unschooled, uneducated Peter to stand up in front of thousands and preach a sermon. Every time we step out into the uncomfortable, God meets us there. God meets us there. And we see God do incredible things. Now, I've been following Jesus most of my life. I've taken quite a few uncomfortable steps. And so there's a part of me which is like, I think I'm done. God, right? You're not going to ask me to do anything more uncomfortable. And just a few weeks ago, I got asked by our regional leaders to teach a breakout session at our regional conference coming up. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. This is all the pastors and leaders from five states, you know, that are going to be at this conference. And I would just rather go sit in the back where you guys get to sit, right? You know, sit in the back of the auditorium and just receive and not have to do any of this, not have to stretch. And yet God says, no, I want you to do this. It'll be good. It'll be good. And it will be. I'm sure that it will be. God is in the uncomfortable. So here's a question I want you to ask yourself today. What is one uncomfortable thing that God is asking me to do? I want you to ask yourself that. Maybe ask God that. Because I believe that God is always interested in our growth. He's always interested in moving the kingdom forward. And with that, he's going to ask us a lot to stretch and to step outside of our comfort zones. So what is one thing? If you have your hand out, I encourage you, write it down. Write it down. Tell somebody about it. And I would just encourage you, and do it. And do it. It's so worth it. Here's your last fill-in. There are exciting and wonderful things just outside of our comfort zones if we're willing to take those steps.
Well, that's it for today's message. We hope we helped you know God more intimately. If you feel our ministry is helping you spiritually, feel free to find out more about us at lighthousevineyard.church. Thank you for being part of our family, and we will see you next time.